I want to read this passage of Scripture, and then we're going to pray together. I'm going to read quite a few verses here. I'll deal with one primarily here in a few moments. But in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," that is our behavior, our lifestyle, "in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I want to call your attention, please, to two passages of Scripture, verses that I have just read a portion of. But if you will, look, please, in verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." And then notice what it says in this further passage on down through here, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us." Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, would anoint me. I want to thank you for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for Brother Pete, for the choir this morning, for the choir special, and Brother Ricky, and God, thank you for Ms. Pansy being here to play this morning. Thank you, our Father, for the privilege of being here in the house of God. Thank you for faithful Sunday school teachers and those, our Father, who went Bible study this morning. And God, I ask now the Holy Ghost of God to give me your anointing. Our Father, apart from you, our Father, we can do nothing, nothing of eternal consequence take place. Our Father, there are friends here who need something from heaven. There are a great number of innumerable people in the internet audience and radio audience. Our Father, I pray your word to be real. Our Father, we're living, our Father, according to your word in the last days. And God, I need your touch and anointing. This church, this people need your anointing. I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts. And Lord, for what you've done for us, you're no respecter of persons. Our Father, you're able to save to the uttermost all that will call upon you. And I pray, God, that this morning, God, here in the building or in the radio audience or in the internet audience, there'd be someone, our Father, who would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, God, give me clearness of thought. I want to thank you again for the blood and in the name of Jesus, that name which is above every name, Jesus Christ, who's Lord. We rebuke every devil and every demon. And our Father, I pray you'd help me now. God, use me for your glory. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I had this week, this has been in my mind and heart. A lot of things have been going on in the nation, of course, and then reading the Word of God and studying. The message I'm going to preach to you this morning, God's been dealing with me about for a good many days now. And so I got to thinking, when I read this passage of Scripture, I give you a title. They always want to give me a title, want me to give a title for the message. I don't have one. But I want to preach to you this morning on this thought: God's not dead, you are. God's not dead, you are. I think about our friend who comes from Carolina Beach, Brother Derwood Henson, who plays all the musical instruments. He sings a song about their dead. You remember that song he used to sing about that? That was a comical type song, but it's pretty much truth in it. And God's not dead, we are, praise God. But thank God we're not dead now. We've been made alive. If you've been made alive, say amen. Amen. When we see God's not dead, we are. I'm talking about the description in this passage of Scripture of any man, a woman, a boy, a girl before they get saved. He said, "You hath you quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now, for those of you who've heard me preach quite a bit, I'm going to be a little bit repetitious this morning, but it amazes me how that I can preach on something. The next day, somebody asked me about it, said, I want to ask you something, and they asked me the very same thing I preached on Sunday morning. So I hope you listen. Are you listening? Say amen. You're living in a day that the biblical prophets of this book are unfolding every day rapidly. Jesus Christ is coming. He said, in the last days, wicked men will wax worse and worse. Now, there are two words in there. They will wax worse and worse. There is an acceleration in those two words. It's kind of like saying we're going fast and we're going faster. Worse and worse. It means that it is in the last days, there will be an acceleration of wickedness and wicked men waxing worse and worse. They're going to be worse, and then it's going to get worse and worse. That's what he's saying. It's an acceleration. How many of you in this building would say in right now that I'm going to just say the last 5 years, I probably could say the last 2 years, that you have seen things happen and go on in this nation you never thought would happen? Raise your hand. That's exactly what he said. He said, in the last days, wicked men will wax worse and worse. They've always been bad, but in the last days, you're going to see an acceleration of that. And it's true now around the world. In this passage of Scripture, he describes the condition of lost people. That doesn't mean lost people in Africa or Asia or Russia to the exclusion of America. America has a great majority of the people of this nation are lost. They're good old boys. They're neighbors and friends. But I'm going to tell you something. Every one of them has one thing in common. They're dead in trespasses and sin. Now, let me go back and help us to understand again what that means to be dead in trespasses and sin. I'll give you the Bible references. I want you to turn with me, please, back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. I'll try to take time this morning and that we can all see it clearly this morning. In Genesis, if you will, please, in chapter 1, I'll call your attention to verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God made man, fashioned man. And he created him in his own image. Now, if you go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, I want you to turn there so you have these references, and you can look at them later. Go to the book of 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and you'll find the book of 1 Thessalonians there in just a few minutes. But in 1 Thessalonians, and I'm sorry, sometimes I don't give you time to turn to them, but I hope you'll write it down if you don't have time to turn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when God said, let us make man in our image, it's evident that he wanted to create them like he is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is a Trinity. And I used to say, Brother Bill, I can't hardly get my mind wrapped around that. And nobody else can. He's God. He's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're co-equal and co-eternal. Jesus Christ did not begin at Bethlehem. He's always been. He's the eternal Son of God. Holy Spirit of God did not begin at Pentecost. He's always been. Always been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when he made man, he made him a Trinity, just like he is. He made you with a body. He made you with a soul. And he made Adam with a spirit, body, soul, and spirit. He has all those. And Paul mentions that relationship, that Trinity of man. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Now, when Adam was created and God fashioned him out of the dust of the earth, he breathed into his nostrils breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now, you have a body. Adam had a body, he had a soul, and he had a spirit. And God fashioned Adam, put he and Eve in the garden. He said, you can take of all the trees, all the fruit, vegetation, everything. It's all for you. But you're not taking that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, you know the story. Satan came, beguiled Eve, and they sinned. And God had given this warning, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. But yet we find Adam walking and talking. We find him after that sin, when God spoke, he ran and hid in the garden, tried to cover himself with fig leaves. He did not die physically that day. He did not die so far as being a person, a soul that day. But he died spiritually that day. I mean, immediately when he did it, he died. Death invaded the human race. And that sin of Adam has caused every man, woman, boy, and girl to be born that's ever been born into Adam's race, born with what's called an Adamic nature. That is, they have a body, they have a soul, but the spirit part of man is dead until something happens to it. You say, Brother Bill, I don't understand it. Well, neither did Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who came, who was a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night, and Jesus said to him, you must be born again. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Jesus was not talking about a physical birth. He was not talking about the soul part of man. He was talking about the spiritual part of man that has to be born again, has to be made brand new, has to be created in him because that spirit in him is dead. Now, because of Adam's sin, the Bible said that death passed upon all men and that all that Adam's sin, death passed upon all men. Let me show you a passage of scripture. Look over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now, I'm taking some time. I hope you're listening. I want you to understand something. It's not a matter of being a Baptist or not being a Baptist. It's not a matter of being an Assembly of God or not Assembly of God, Pentecostal, whatever. It's not a matter of being any religious cult. Every person in the whole world is in this condition. They may wear a suit or they may wear a loincloth in Africa. They may live in a high rise or they may live in a shanty somewhere else. But they're all the very same. They're all dead in trespasses and sin until they know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Notice what it says in the book of 2 Corinthians, and I give you chapter 5 and verse number 14. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 14. And it says this, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Everybody say this, all. All. Every person who does not know Christ is dead, not physically, not in their soul, but in their spirit. See, in that triune being, he made us a body. You have a body. You have the senses of that body. You can smell, you can see, you can touch, you can feel, you sense the world around you. It's your physical body, and it makes you aware of all of your surroundings. You have a physical body that you live in. But inside of you, there is a soul. That soul is you. It is your personality. It has to do with your emotions. It has to do with your mental faculties. It is who you are. If you would examine every person's body in here, they'd pretty much be the same. Flesh tissue would be the same. They're different blood types. But physically, they all pretty much the same. Same type of bone structure, same chemicals make up the bones, same chemicals make up the blood. And the Bible said the whole human race is of one blood, not one blood type, but of one type of blood. It's all the same wherever you go around the world. And every person's basically the same, but we're all different. Every person in this room is different. Why? Because you live inside that body. It is called a temple. It's called a tabernacle. It's called an earthen vessel. You live inside that body. You are a living soul. You can experience things. You can experience love, express love. You're fearful. You express all emotions, all those type of things. You have the capacity to think. That's part of your soul person. You have what the Bible teaches is a will. You have a will. You can determine things. You can marry who you want to. You can do what you want to. But now, inside of every believer, inside of every person, we don't have a living spirit. We have a body. We have a soul. But our spirit is dead. Because while the body makes us world conscious and our soul is who we are, my dear friend, it's the spirit that communes with God. And when Adam sinned, he died spiritually. The Lord said you have to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In order to do that, you need to be born again. That spirit has to be made alive, has to be born again. You become a brand new creature. Brother Jerome been talking to me. Jerome got saved back in the beginning of the drama this year. And he's called me and he's been reading his Bible and he said, Brother Billy, I've been such a change in me. I want to read the Bible all the time. I want to talk about the Lord all the time. And he said, I don't know what's going on. He said, just feel so good. And I said, well, you're not what you used to be. Something's happened on the inside of you. You've had a new birth. You've had a new birth. The spirit part of you has been made alive. And listen, but what happens in death? What happens? What's it mean that Adam died? He didn't die physically, although that body began to deteriorate. It lasted longer than mine and yours will, but it began to die. The soul in that person will live forever. The Bible said that. He said that that body returned to dust, the soul back to God that gave it. But listen, what about that spirit? I want to share with you just three little quick words about death, spiritual death. First of all, it says to me, darkness. Darkness. Death is darkness. Death, you know, in the depiction in the drama, when Jordan, is it Jordan? Comes out up here. Both of them. Okay, they interchange, and I can't tell who's who. All right? But anyhow, when they come out, and then when Jesus takes the keys of life and death and defeats death, death is darkness. Not just in the depiction in an Easter drama, but death is darkness in regard to human life. Death is a dark thing to us. But it's more in the spiritual realm than just in the physical realm. That when he died spiritually, there came a great darkness in the souls of men. A darkness. Go in your Bible, please, right here where we're in the book of Ephesians, but turn over to chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you something. A lost man. Now, this is not just in deep, dark Africa. This is on Main Street, Benson, North Carolina. Yeah. It is in New York City. It is in every Ivy League school around this nation. It is in the University of North Carolina and the University of NC State and Duke University. Every person in that place has darkness in their spirit. Every one of them. Notice what it said in the book of Ephesians. And in chapter 4, I want to call your attention to verse number 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alien from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I won't read the whole context. I want just that one verse for right there, but he's describing an unsaved man or woman. He describes it like this. There's darkness there. There's darkness. Their understanding is darkened and they have blindness in their heart. Darkness. You know, I don't know about you. We go and I preach different places and stay in motels, this, that, and the other. And a strange thing happens when you wake up in a strange place in the dark and you still think you're at the house. How many of you ever done that? How many of you ever kicked the footboard of the bed you're staying in? You'll kick the dresser. You'll go bump into the wall because you think that's where the door's supposed to be going to the bathroom. I mean, you can't see. And in darkness, when you are in darkness, you still have your physical senses, but your sight is impaired. You can't see clearly. I mean, you can't discern. You cannot appreciate beauty in darkness. I mean, if it's dark, and the most beautiful painting in the world could be on the wall hanging where you are in darkness. But if you're in darkness, you can't really appreciate beauty. You're in darkness. In darkness, there are unusual emotions. There's fear. I mean, you're in a place, if you were in a strange place and you're in darkness, you would bump and you hit and you'd experience pain. And you'd imagine, if I take the wrong step, I'll plunge down to my death. There's fear in darkness. There's uncertainty in darkness. There's confusion in darkness. In darkness, you have no sense of perception. I mean, you say, Brother Bill, how far is it from here to the end of that building? I kind of give you a ballpark figure. But if this building was completely dark, and you said, how far is it to the other side of this building? No way. I can't perceive depth or distance. I can't balance that out because of darkness. Darkness, my dear friend, in a spiritual sense, people cannot see clearly, and they don't have perception of future. They live in a little capsule. They live for the pleasures of the day. He said, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we'll die. But they don't live in perception of future. They live in darkness. They live in darkness, in total darkness. It's hard to distinguish what's real and what's not. In darkness, my dear friend, you have no sense of direction, which way to go. If it's totally dark, there are no guidelines. There are no well-worn paths. There are no lights to guide you. And a person that's lost is like that. They're in a sense of darkness. They live a life, but they live in darkness. Not only that, death speaks to me of darkness, but it also speaks of defenselessness. If I had, and I don't want to gross you out, but if we had a human body laying up here, you could come do anything you want to that body. We shudder sometimes when we think about the thoughts of autopsies. Not a very pleasant thought. But you can do anything you want to somebody who's dead. They don't have any defenses. They can't protect themselves. They can't run. They can't hide. I don't care if they were, you know, a great muscle builder and had great muscles. But if they're dead, I mean, anybody could beat them. Anybody could mutilate their body. They're defenseless. And Jesus looked out and he saw those sheep and he said they were like sheep scattered abroad. They were defenseless. Lost people, they can't defend themselves against spiritual warfare. Jesus said this, you're of your father the devil and the lust of your father you'll do. Why is it that lost people do like they do? They don't have any defenses. Satan wars against our mind. He wars against their mind. He said to Ananias and Sapphira, why has Satan filled thy heart? As you see, lost people don't have any defenses. The devil and the demons. You say, Brother Bill, I wouldn't ever do what some of these people have done. You don't ever know what you do. You read every day. You watch the news every day. There are people who are doing things, and they didn't ever think they'd do that. Neighbors said, I don't think they'd ever do that. They didn't think they'd ever do that. But when a person's dead spiritually, they are defenseless against the wiles of the devil and a demon spiritual warfare out here. He said there was a time. There was a time, he said, that their understanding was darkened and they were alienated from the life of God. They didn't have it. They were separated from God. There was darkness and there's defenselessness. But death also speaks to me. Well, let me back up. I got to thinking about Bobby Langdon flying. Bobby flies when I was thinking about this. And I was doing a little reading one time about flight. And in the dark night, in a storm, human senses are hardly of any value. Those planes flying up there, and it's dark night, and there's a storm coming, they're depending completely on the instrument panels. They're flying by instruments. And if they lose that instrument panel, if they lose all of that, they don't have any sense of direction. They can't tell if they're going north, south, east, or west. Their destination becomes impossible because they have no way to correct their course. If the wind pushes them one way or another, they cannot correct their course. They cannot do that. And they lose it all in that darkness. That's how people are spiritually. They're trying to fly in the dark with no sense of direction. They don't have any. They can't tell if they're up or down. They've lost it all. They can't tell if they're heading towards the sky or if they're plummeting to the bottom. They can't tell if they're fixed to fly into the side of a mountain or into a fluffy cloud because they cannot, they don't have the instruments to tell them where they're flying in darkness. And that's the way a lost person is. They're flying the very same way with no instruments in darkness. They're running this little ad on the radio now. Can you imagine being blindfolded, it said, and driving 55 miles an hour, the length of a football field? It said that's what it's like when you take your eyes off the steering wheel for just a minute to do some texting and everything. Same thing. Well, lost people operate in the realm of darkness. They operate in the realm of darkness. But not only darkness and not only defenselessness, but decay. Decay. Death means decay. Lazarus died. They put him in a grave and Jesus delayed his going. And when he got there, they said, it's been 4 days. He already stinketh. They're pretty sure of that because it's a natural course of a body, physical body, that when the life leaves that body, it begins to decay. The brain no longer functions, doesn't know to breathe, can't take in any oxygen. The brain no longer functions. The heart quits beating. There's no life-giving blood flowing through that body. And it, 1 minute, it's there. They have their mental faculties. They got their body. They have their personality. And then death comes. And you look at them, it's still the same body, still has all the blood in it, everything's the same. But life has left that body. It immediately begins to decay. The autopsy and the coroner, they can determine how long they've been dead. You know how they do that? It's on the rate of deterioration of that body, of the decay of that body. They're not measured in days and hours like we do. They're measuring it by the rate of decay and how long it takes that body to rot away. My dear friends, spiritually speaking, that spiritual death speaks of decay. It begins to decay away. It gets worse and worse. It happens in human life. It happens in physical life. It happens in spiritual life. My dear friend, listen. He said this in Jeremiah, the human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Because of spiritual darkness, because of being dead spiritually, the human heart is corrupted. Is corrupted. And you say, I'll do what's in your heart. But your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Why? Because of the rate of decay that's taking place spiritually, spiritual decay. Go over to the book of Romans, please, in chapter 3. Death speaks of darkness. It speaks of being defenseless. It also speaks of decay. Notice what it says in chapter 3. In chapter 3, in verse number 19, listen to this passage of Scripture. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No and no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all dead in trespass and sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. That means there's none righteous in Africa, Asia, Europe, Mexico, Alaska, North Carolina, Johnson County. None righteous. None. Human race is like that. All have sinned. All come short of the glory of God. All dead outside of Christ. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. You say, I don't understand why people do what they do. It's because they don't understand. They don't. You say, how can they believe that? How can they do that? How can all these things be going on? I'm talking about educated people. How can it all be going on? They have no spiritual understanding. They don't understand. He said this, there's none that seeketh after God. That's a dead spirited person. There's no righteousness. there's no spiritual understanding, and there's no seeking God. Now, Billy Graham used to say this, that everybody has in their heart a God-shaped vacuum that will never be satisfied apart from the presence of God. And that's exactly right. There's something missing in every heart and life. But they don't understand, so they don't know where to seek. And they'll do anything in the world but turn to the Lord. Because with that deadness and that decay comes an aversion to God. Adam, when he died spiritually, he ran from God, not to God. And people that are dead spiritually run from God, not to God. You say, well, Brother Billy, how do we ever get there? Jesus said it. He said, no man goes to the Father, no man comes to the Father but by me, and no man comes to me except the Spirit of God. Draw him. If you're saved today, it's not because you went looking for Jesus, because he went looking for you. And it's not because you drew near to him, but because he drew you near to himself. And you ought to write a song. In fact, a fellow already did. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Thank God, God took away the darkness when you got saved. But now notice this. He said they don't understand, they don't seek God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With the tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever thing the law said to them that are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped and that all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law of God's word is to help us to understand that we're dead spiritually. And the preaching of the word of God, the Holy Ghost of God, uses that to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But he's describing the decay of a human person. Let's go back. He documents it in a society setting. Go back in chapter 1. It's happening. Now, there's a great fascination in America today, and I thank God I'm not one of them. And you thank God you're not one of them, probably. With the walking dead. Man, people are fascinated by that. The Walking Dead series. And I know some of you probably watch whatever. But listen, The Walking Dead. Well, the truth of the reality is, the Bible said, she that liveth in sin is dead while she yet liveth. They are the walking dead. They are walking dead. Look here what it says in the book of Romans chapter 1. Look at verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. Therefore, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now watch a progression. God manifests himself. They saw God in what we call nature. Actually, it's creation. That's a good word rather than nature. They saw God in that. They saw the hand of God in that. But it said when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither became thankful. I'm talking about decay now. Watch this. But became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, they start off saying, there's none that seeks God. There's none that understands it. Now, when they know God, they don't glorify him as God. They became vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened. That's the darkness of death. It's permeating. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into the image like unto corruptible men and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, here's the progression. Decay. God manifests himself. They don't want God. They reject God. They begin to become vain in their imagination, profess themselves to be wise, they become fools. They begin to form their own gods. They make up their own gods. They make up a God that agrees with what they do and how they live to accommodate them. And then it says, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up. God gave them up. To what? To uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which is meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. Does that sound familiar to anybody in this building besides me? Death is decay. It doesn't stay the same. It doesn't stay the same. When death comes, it's a deterioration down the road. I mean, it just keeps on going. He's speaking here of a whole culture of people. It happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's happened in other places. That when there are wicked people, years ago, many, many years ago, I believe a French ambassador came to America, and he went back to report to his country about what made America great. And he made this statement, America's great because the people are good. If that nation ever quits having good people, it'll be destroyed. I'm telling you that God gave them up. He just turned them loose. What's on the inside was manifest on the outside. And my dear friend, that's what it means to be lost. Here's the thing. You better pray today that while God may do that to nations, and he may have done it to America, you better seek Him, call on Him while He's near, because wouldn't have been an awful thing to say, God gave you up. God just took His hands off of you. He wouldn't convict you again. He wouldn't draw you again. He wouldn't speak to you again. He wouldn't correct you again. Just let you go. My dear friend, if you have any question in your mind whether you're going to heaven or not, you need to cry out to Him for mercy. You say, Brother Billy, what is there any hope for this situation? Well, I begin reading verse 18, but will you go back up, please, to verse number 16? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Dead in trespass and sin, but you can live by faith. My text verse was this, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. That word quickened means made alive. And then he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a hope. There's a hope for individuals, and it is that they repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I say to you, without any question mark whatsoever, that is the only hope. That is the only hope. For a lost man, for a lost woman, for a lost girl, for a lost boy, for a nation, is that God would redeem and save enough people to keep that nation afloat. We need, like never before, to seek God's face in prayer. There's hope in the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Christ. How do we treat lost people? Well, like Jesus did, he was moved with compassion. I don't care who they are, what lifestyle they have. We ought to have compassion. We must not condone, but we must have compassion. And there's only one hope for them, and that is the gospel. They need to believe the gospel and be changed and be made alive. My dear friend, you can do that today. You say, Brother Billy, I don't think I fit into those descriptions in there. The propensity is there. When a person's born, they have certain DNA in them. They get it from their mom and daddy. Inside of that little cell, before it's not even recognizable as a human being, is the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, everything about you. It's not been manifest yet, but it's already there. Everything about it, everything about your physical being is already in that one little cell that's not even recognizable as being a human being. And my dear friend, inside of you is that old, wicked, Adamic nature. It's not fully made itself manifest yet, but it will. It will. To different degrees in some people, but it's still there. But the ultimate results is this. And John said this. He said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Because of that old nature, because alienated from God, because of the fact that we don't know Christ, because we're sinners, already alienated from God, already under the condemnation of God. There's only one thing that will avert that, and that is to be born again by the grace of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, with great love wherein he loved us, he saved us. You can know that today. This building's full of people who were lost, and now they're saved because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because they were good. They're not going to heaven because they do good things. They're not going to heaven because of any righteousness they have, but because of the shed blood of Christ. And that's the only hope. That is the only hope of an individual. That's the only hope of this nation, is that God see fit to save enough people. There'd be enough salt and light in this nation to keep it alive. If you've got half a brain, you can see that death is coming, decay is coming, and it's accelerating. Wicked men will wax worse and worse, and it's getting darker. But thank God there's some light for Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. He said this in John chapter 1, verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Do you know how long, if this building was completely dark, do you know how long it would take if we were to turn on a light inside this auditorium and it completely dark for it to dispel darkness? You couldn't calculate it on a calculator. Just that fast. You know how long it takes for God to dispel the darkness in your soul when you trust Jesus Christ? It's just like that. The light comes in. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. He's described in the Bible as being light and life and love. And he comes in just like that. The light comes on. And thank God for the beauty when the light comes on. He dispels all that darkness. My dear friend, thank God for it. Thank God for the fact that you can be born again. And it's an experience that takes just a split second by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, I've tried to share what you want me to share, and I'm aware of the fact, and I follow the devil is very anxious over people knowing the truth. He didn't want them to know the truth. He wants to pervert it. He wants to deceive them, destroy them. God, I pray the Holy Ghost to have mercy. I pray, God, this morning in this building, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, somebody, our Father, who's not saved, that, God, you speak to their heart, that, God, you made them aware of the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And, our Father, with death comes darkness, and with death comes defenselessness, and with death comes decay. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God will deal with hearts this morning, that somebody would repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd be born again in an instant, made brand new. I pray, God, the light would come on. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ would shine in their hearts, and they'd become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus, be born again by the grace of God. Our dear friends here in the building and the internet radio audience, I want to ask you a question. Are you born again by the grace of God? Have you experienced salvation? Do you have life? And do you have light? And do you have love? When He comes in, you'll have all three. If you've never experienced that, joining a Baptist church won't do that for you. Baptism will not do that for you. It has to be a new birth experience. My dear friend, this world, every person who's never been saved by the grace of God is living a dead life. They're walking dead. Walking dead. And it's not going to stay stagnant. The darkness will get darker. There'll be the great decay. And it's true in a society. It's true in an individual. And my dear friend, you can change all that right now in a moment. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophet, how often would I gather you together as a hen gathers a chick, but you would not come to me that you might have life. Will you come to Him? Holy Spirit of God dealing with you, wooing you, speaking to you, awaken to you a sense that you need Christ, that you need to be saved. Will you come right now? Will you? Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God to do that which no man can do. I pray you'd convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. God, draw them by your grace. I pray, God, you'd save to the uttermost all that come unto you. And God, I pray you'd do a great work here this morning in lives. God, for those of us who are saved, our Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, the urgency of the hour would, Lord, would compel us to be a better witness for Christ, to pray more earnestly, more fervently, God, to share the gospel more faithfully. God, I pray you'd save. Oh, God, I pray that you'd save. I pray you'd get glory. And God, I pray you'd do a work right now in this building and with all our friends in the internet audience, the radio audience. Dear friends, if you don't know Christ, He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd encourage you right now to call on Him. You might could pray a prayer like this in your heart if you mean it with all your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for my sin, was buried, rose again. Come in my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Save me right now, Lord Jesus. And I'll thank you and give you, Lord, all the praise. Lord Jesus, help me to love you and serve you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. My dear friend, if you're in the building or in the radio audience, the internet audience, you pray that prayer. We'd love to know it. We'd love to pray with you and rejoice with you.